Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is good to be here and listen to the same introduction.
All right. So we're going to keep on this strand of different topics in and around the uniqueness of this COVID-19 era. So today's question is how we can continue toward multiplication even during COVID-19, right? So how do you multiply your church? That in particular is our question. How do you multiply your church in a COVID-19 era?
I have no idea. Next. I think everyone's trying to figure it out. I mean, that's part of the conversations we've been having with Church Planting Leadership Fellowship and 100 other places. I think that it is, in some ways, I put it in two categories. One is taking more time to prepare, and the other is jumping in different ways. No one's just generally doing it the way it was before. Mm. So for some, it's been okay. Well, you know, we're recording this in, so we're end of 2020, beginning of 2021. And so then if we are doing that, we might say, well, let's wait till Easter. And we had a conversation recently with, I guess I'm allowed to share this one. We had a conversation with Dr. Deborah Birx, Ambassador Birx, actually, who, you know, you see her on television. She was actually spoofed on Saturday Night Live just recently as well. they're talking that we're by Easter, most vulnerable people will have been vaccinated. And so I think you could start in the category one. If you're in the pause stage, you could say, let's work towards Easter. And you'll probably still have mitigations. And that's a few months away. And that gives us a path forward. The other is, sort of the move forward anyway stage. And what I would say is in that case, people are probably beginning their public worship online, multiplying that way, and, you know, kind of planning the next steps from there. So I think either of those are valid options and basically you just need to figure out which one works best and right for you. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think that multiplication is done. I was talking to Charlie Dates. I think you know Charlie, and his church, Progressive. It's a historic African American church. It was founded during the Spanish flu epidemic, and we were talking about ministry in the time. And so, there's all kinds of churches that were planted during the Spanish flu epidemic, and all kinds of churches have been planted during the Black Plague. So, I think ultimately, the tricky part for us is that gathering together has become so controversial in some places. Some places it's not. You know, you're in Canada, I'm in Chicago. We don't want to overstate. You know, churches in Texas might be a third option. Don't pay attention to this at all in some places. But I think there are paths forward. Either make Easter your goal, and again, that'll be with some mitigation and more. But people will be by Easter feeling like you're coming out of it. And I think some people will be willing to gather together. And by summer, you know, to quote what Dr. Birx said, by summer we'll be having vacation Bible schools and everything will be, didn't say back to normal, but it'll be a much more normal feeling of church life. She was specifically talking to Christian leaders. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think, you know, with the news of the vaccine and as of the date of this recording, the first load came into Canada. And this week is actually when people are going to begin vaccination. So every country is taking it from a different approach. So I think from the short term, we see that. And there's hope in regards to that. But I think regardless of when vaccines are rolled out and, you know, how much, you know, what percentage of your population needs to be vaccinated for there to be a herd immunity or for that to be okay. You know, those some of those things are yet to be seen. But I think for a little bit, I wouldn't say long term, but maybe more the midterm, there is that sense of, okay, even with vaccines, it's still not going to be what it was pre-COVID. Right. There's still going to be this sense of do I want to gather together or do I want to keep on being online? So there's that side of it as well.
Well, if you're an unchurched person and you're looking for a reason not to go to a new church plant, this is it. I mean, there's nothing more compelling than saying, well, yeah, maybe I shouldn't go out. And what I would say is particularly too, when movie theaters are not by and large opening widely, there's some, but I think that, and it's hard to tell. And I don't, you know, I'm not a prophet, not the son of a prophet. I work at a nonprofit organization, my dumb old preacher joke, but it's still hard to tell. But people are starting to get out, even though at the time of recording this, it's actually getting higher and higher and higher. People are seeing they're seeing the future, the light at the end of the tunnel. And most of the head of the CDC, Center for Disease Control here in the U.S., said that, you know, the next 2 to 3 months are going to be some of the worst public health months in. So again, he's saying that in December. So we're talking January, February, maybe March. But by then, you're seeing more and more vaccination, widespread vaccination. So is it going to be like, hey, let's pack out the local high school auditorium with people standing in the aisles? I don't think it's probably going to be like that. But I do think that you can and should move forward. And what I'd say to people, you can plan, you can't promise, but you can plan that. And I would have no problem right now saying that even as, you know, we're planning a service, some services in New York City. And, you know, right now it's, you know, things are peaking again, but we are making plans for a, you know, Easter and beyond moving back to normal. And I think you have to. I think ultimately that right now that's where we need is some forward direction and momentum. And if it's not Easter, if it's May, that's still doable. And we can start planning towards that as we go. But we're getting to the place where the if you'd asked this question a month ago, I would say we don't have a path to decide yet. We still have to figure some of this out. But you know, you could start online, you can do some of the, we've talked before about temporarily deficient ecclesiology in the emergency for the sake of the mission. So you could do those things, but now I think you can begin to say, all right, we're going to do something more than that. We're going to move forward and do this together.
Well, yeah. So when you think about getting back to meeting together, and for example, my local church, I mean, we were meeting in person from August until last week. And then because of the rapidly rising cases and all that, our province has actually recommended that churches stop meeting in person. So for us in wanting to be a part of the solution, and we've had healthy guidelines and healthy procedures and you know all that during the last several months, but for us just in the next month or so, closing our doors and going back to online, there's this sense of okay, moving towards spring, there's a sense for churches where it's like, okay, well, how do we just get more people in person? And when you think about it from that like if that becomes your goal and that becomes your thing where it's like, you know, oftentimes 70-80% capacity, then you think about multiplication. Well, it might be a long time till you get to 70-80%. So what I wouldn't want happen is if God has given you a burden and a vision to multiply, that you basically put that by the wayside and try to fill up your auditorium again, because I don't know when the next time is going to be where auditoriums are going to be okay, like they're going to have the same capacity as they did pre-COVID.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because you took the question from the church sending church side, which is actually good and right, important. Yeah. And I kind of took it from the church planning side, but I do think that is important. So I think it would be a great statement of faith for a church to say right now, hey, listen, we're going to build back who we are, and we're going to plant someone out from us. And I think that would be a good God-honoring thing to do. So I would say that the path to do that, because you're going to still have to build. I mean, one of the things that we're learning is that in areas that that are slowly coming back is that, you know, even here in the Chicagoland area, you know, I preached yesterday at my church, and you know, we're a church planning church, and we have not paused our church planning. We paused some time. We delayed a little timing, but we haven't paused. We're still planting churches, and we wanted to help make that timing work for the church plants. But I would say too, we are simultaneously asking the question, how do we build back our congregation? And you know, right now in Illinois, we're operating under what are guidelines from the governor, but those do have an impact. And as you know, community spread has been more evident, it's been challenging here. So what I would say is we just have to learn to walk and chew gum at the same time. We need to return. We need a great return into our own congregation. But at the same time, for most churches now, their giving is sort of stabilized. Most churches have stabilized. Most research points out that it's stabilized. You know, it could be 5% below or 5% above, but most of them are in that 5 to 10% difference. So financially, the means to do these things haven't changed. It just feels different because people are engaging in gathered space differently. So what I would say is do both, you know, build back and multiply. And maybe that's a slogan. Maybe we need a new church's slogan, build back and multiply at the same time.
Well, and that's the piece, right? That's the piece where, yeah, you might not be able to, if you're a church planter, you might not be able to secure a lease for this April or for next year because you just don't, I mean, you have no idea what that's going to look like. So instead of waiting until you can secure a lease, well, right now, how do you gather together? How do you start small groups? How do you continue to envision? And I recognize that that Zoom is kind of, a lot of people are over Zoom, but honestly, there are great benefits to having smaller groups on Zoom. Not talking about like 15 people, but when you have 3 to 6 people on a Zoom call, that can actually be more meaningful than gathering together in person. Not always, but there is that sense where, man, everyone is fully attentive, fully there looking at each other. So I would just say, don't allow the circumstances that are surrounding you to prevent or slow down the vision that God has given you. Continue to entrust that with him and in him as a sending church and also as a church planter, because I love, honestly, I love the fact that you brought up Charlie Date's church. I didn't realize that Progressive was planted during the Spanish flu. I mean, that's incredible, right? What a testament. So I'm excited to hear 5, 10, 15 years from now, all the churches that were planted during COVID and the gospel fruit that has been born out of that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Daniel Yang at the Sin Institute did an article flowing out of some of the meetings we had recently. Maybe we can post it in the show notes, just looking at church plants that have moved forward in the pandemic. So again, I don't think, you know, missionaries are spreading all over the world right now. People are sending missionaries. Missionaries are still serving in places. We can't stop, because it would be an interesting thing. It would be the first time in history that missions, and church planting is missions work generally, but this would be the first time in history that missions stopped if we let it. Missions didn't stop in World War II. Missions didn't stop in World War I. Missions didn't stop during the Black Death. And it ought not to stop in 2020, 2021.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thanks again for listening into today's episode. If you have a question on this or another topic, be sure to send that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. We'll catch you next time.